Monday, October 22nd, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is David Cruz with the Comstock Report. Vice President Mike Pence and Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue were in Georgia, assuring farmers there that the federal government would help them with an estimated $3 billion in staggering losses from Hurricane Michael. This loss was concentrated in the path of the hurricane, but the loss of $3 billion was just a small down payment relative to the really staggering losses that the ag sector is suffering from Trump's trade and RFS policies. Fapri says that the Trump RIN waivers will cost the biofuel industry $20 billion, and the E15 vapor waiver is a shiny ball thrown up to take the tension away from the real damage done to the RFS. When you add up all the cumulative trade losses to the soybean, sorghum, apple, milk, cranberry, pork, and other export markets, it is billions and billions and billions. The little bit that we get back in tariff aid and deregulation is proportionally a small token of reimbursement. We get a little here and a little there, like this small increase in Canadian milk market share that did nothing for the milk market. Trump has given the ag sector a huge tax cut in the form of reduced income, the largest such tax cut in history. You can call me a pessimist, but we pessimists have been dead right so far. From what I see coming is not the recovery of the soybean market, but the potential destruction of the corn market. I think that it is highly unlikely that China and the United States will untangle the ball of worsening disagreements that are still on a current trajectory to grow into something bigger than just a trade war. Unless there is a resolution of the trade war between the United States and China, there'll be no recovery in the soybean market. I don't know about you, but I can't afford to grow $8 soybeans. Seed is way too expensive, the land charge too high to grow soybeans profitably. I think that means that we will shift millions of acres away from soybeans as the forward-looking soybean carryover projects toward a billion bushel, and even $8 beans is too high. I am set up to grow corn, and under the market circumstances, we'll plan to grow 100% corn next year. I'm sure that others will shift acres to corn too. I don't know that without Chinese soybean demand that we can cut soybean acres enough to save the soybean market to allow its recovery to profitability. But I am pretty sure that with more acres that we can ruin the wheat and corn markets trying to grow something that makes money. This is going to make pricing 2019 corn very important to survival again next year. Given a dramatic acreage shift, we could end up with $2.50 corn to go along with $7 soybeans. Wouldn't that be fun? E15 is not going to materially impact the 2019 corn balance sheet. The Brazilian soybean crop is setting a record for early planting. That will bring new crop Brazilian soybeans to market early in 2019 for China. It will also allow early planting of the Safrina second corn crop. The El Nino has historically foretold a 70% chance of above trend line yields for both South America and U.S. crops next season. You're listening to the Comstock Report. 3, 2, 1. With a great start to their planting season and an El Nino, South America is ready to produce a record corn crop, and with a lot more acres in an El Nino here, we could do so too. Do I really have to tell you the rest? I know that some of you think I sound like your mother as I tell you things you really don't want to hear, contrary to ideology. Abe Lincoln once said, however, everything that I am, I owe to my mother. I've not been wrong in what I've told you. Trump immigration policy is a hit with the GOP, and most farmers are Republicans. Here, too, we need another however. Trump's immigration policy will exacerbate an already very difficult labor situation in the ag sector. Unless resolved, it will increase food costs for U.S. consumers to a degree that will surprise them. The bottom line is that when Trump talks about the fantastic U.S. economy, we in the ag sector are being left out. Livestock producers do get some marginal benefit from strong domestic meat demand. Cheap corn, soy meal, and wheat make cheap feed. Feedlots like that. Eventually, that produces cheap livestock, too. As noted, the Mexican tariffs on pork should go away when the USMCA is signed and ratified, so that we go back to zero tariffs on meat. There are positive improvements in the new U.S.-Japanese bilateral trade agreement that should benefit U.S. meat exports to that country. Hurricane Michael did devastate Georgia agriculture, cotton, pecans, vegetables, cantaloupe, timber, poultry, and cattle, to name a few. They will need government aid as the existing safety net will not save them. The other historic storm, however, the trade war, is man-made, and unlike a hurricane, which does its damage and is gone, can protract so that losses pile on top of one another. The damage from this trade war will last a long time and an enormous cumulative cost, Back to those billions and billions of dollars, a lot costlier than a single hurricane. Our hurricane will not lower farmland values, but Trump's trade war will. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information and marketing opportunities, visit us in Royal Iowa online at comstock.com or call 712-227-1110.